We now bring you exclusive HVL behind-the-scenes audio footage at an executive meeting from the Montreal Canadiens front office between Marc Bergevin and Claude Julien.
Come in. Oh, Claude. Claude, come in. Sit down. I just want to quickly run something by you. You know that offensive help we kept talking about that we so dearly needed for this hockey season?
I certainly do.
Well, you're going to get it.
Okay, who are we going to get?
You're not going to believe this, but I got us Jonathan Drouin.
You're f***ing kidding me.
Mm-hmm.
How the f*** did we get Jonathan f***ing Drouin?
In order to get something good, you gotta give up something good.
Okay.
And that's why I gave up Mikhail Sergachev.
But isn't he a left-handed, puck-moving defenseman?
Those are incredibly overrated, and I'm pretty sure we have plenty of them.
But, I mean, Jonathan's going to be the answer to our number one center problems, right?
Well, not so fast, because, you know, he's kind of more of a winger. And if you remember, Tampa and John Cooper soured on him because of some kind of defensive liabilities, but I'm sure it's all good.
So let me get this straight. We did get faster.
Mm-hmm.
But we got smaller.
Oh, yeah.
But we did get more French.
Oui. And that's the best part. He's a hometown boy. I mean, Claude, this organization hasn't had a French-speaking star in decades, and I'm going to change that.
But do we really care that he speaks French?
Come on. Isn't that why we hired you? So, Kamal, is it safe to say that my Marc Bergevin sounds like a mad scientist?
He lost his French accent, too. It was incredible. I think we're just, you know, hopefully people understand that we're just trying to point out some of the absurdities of the things that go on in the sporting world, especially related to our beloved Montreal Canadiens and Toronto Maple Leafs.
The satire seems to write itself, doesn't it? I mean, you look at the Drouin signing, you must have felt like you must have felt like a kid at Christmas and somebody stole your bike at the same time.
Yes, I remember hearing the update in my car, and my initial reaction was excitement because Montreal dearly needs offensive help. But then as I kind of sat back and analyzed it, I'm still excited about the trade, but it just doesn't meet the needs that the Montreal Canadiens... doesn't meet all the needs that the Montreal Canadiens were looking for, and that especially being a number one center. And maybe that goes to Marc Bergevin saying that it's hard to get a number one center. So instead of filling that role, maybe getting the offensive help on the periphery, that being the wings, left wing, right wing, maybe that'll help supplement the lack of scoring that is very apparent down the middle for the Montreal Canadiens.
So I decided to take a look at some of these rookies in this tournament that everyone's got their eyes on. And I'm thinking to myself, who are the names that could potentially make our teams this year? And in my case, I came up with, obviously, Lil Yegren, because I think Timothy is out of this world, and we'll talk about that more. And also Kasperi Kapanen. But I don't really see anything else changing with the roster from last year. And is that a good thing or a bad thing, I wonder? Because maybe stability is something that Maple Leafs fans aren't used to. And for the first time in a long time, this might be almost identical to what the team was last year with a couple of bells and whistles.
Well, that's true, and I don't think that's a very bad thing, actually, for the Leafs, because it's pretty well known that the three rookies that they had last year were outstanding. So, and them being, what, 19, 20 years old now? Still very young, still very early in their careers, so I don't think it's a bad thing that the Leafs may not have a rookie in their opening 2017 lineup.
Especially when you consider how many years have passed. Decade over decade, where the team would kind of reach in and bring up a young kid too soon, and then you'd see him struggle. You know, I'm thinking recently with players like Nazem Kadri. You know, I think about how quickly they brought up goaltenders in the past who clearly weren't ready and tried to turn them into something. This might be the first year in hockey where I can honestly look at my team and say, you know what, a lot of these guys truly do belong, and now it's just a matter of chemistry.
Well, that's true. I mean, you guys did finish on a high note. But there's still some big question marks. And the NHL, you still need to win with defense, and that's the big question mark for you guys. And it's a huge question mark because I don't think it's good enough. Hey, did you see that the NHL hired yet another former enforcer as the new director of NHL player safety?
Boy, that's a rite of passage, isn't it? That's like every 3 years we get some kind of weird moment.
Good old George Parros is now the NHL director of player safety.
From pugilism to dishing out fair justice in the NHL without having a last name and any conflict of interest because your son is playing for the New York Rangers.
That's good. Yeah. Listen, but is it a conflict of interest when your clothing line is called Violent Gentlemen? So as the director of player safety, you want to apparently curtail the violence that happens in the NHL and punish the violence that happens in the NHL, yet your clothing line is called Violent Gentlemen. Don't you think that it might be more beneficial if the NHL was more violent for his clothing line, if it was more beneficial for his clothing line to have the NHL be and continue to be more violent? Is that a conflict of interest?
I think the conflict of interest rests in this notion that violence is even going to be a part of this game in 3 or 4 years. I mean, look at what's happened in the last few years. Let's say we were doing this podcast 10 years ago. One of the things we'd be addressing is who our resident enforcer is, right? Who's going to hold this team together when all these little young guys are running around trying to score? That's not going to happen this year.
Leo Komarov will come to rescue with his hits from behind. He's going to sneak up on everyone and hit them from behind. Like he does 3 to 4 times per game.
I'm speaking out.
And then he turns around and looks at the referee with a stupid doe-eyed face and says, "What? Who, me?"
First of all, that's Matt Martin.
In a broken Finnish, Estonian, Russian accent, whatever he has. Oh, he's a weasel. He's a weasel enforcer. It's the new role. Weasel enforcer.
You cannot tell me that a part of you is intrigued to see what a line of Matt Martin, Leo Komarov, and Dom Moore can do in a game. Oh. Free reign, post-whistle scrums, good stuff.
I look forward to the 7 to 8 minutes per game they get. And all the post-whistle scrum weasel antics of Dominic Moore. Guarantee, game one, the whistle will go, Dominic Moore will find himself in a scrum and weasel it up.
And there's nothing wrong with that. You know why? Because you need that. You need agitation. You need distractions from your stars getting chased and hunted down. Don't fool yourself. You know full well halfway through the season, teams are going to get fed up with Marner, Nylander, and Matthews running amok. And that's when they're going to start leaning on them and pushing them and trying to injure them. Leo Komarov to the rescue. Russia. Russia, I say. Even though he speaks Finnish and he's actually from Latvia. But my point
Estonia.
Is...
Estonia. I think he's an Estonian fella,
yeah,
isn't he?
That's true. He's technically from Estonia. But
he plays for Team Finland.
But you have to agree that...
He's a very educated fella. He speaks like 1,000 languages.
Well, I call him the cerebral assassin. You know, as the Leafs fan, I get asked by a great deal of listeners and followers exactly what I'm looking forward to in the 2017-2018 season. And I've had a chance to think about it, so I'll be frank with you. It's the special teams. It's the Maple Leafs penalty killing and power play, which has gone from being something that was simply laughable to one of the most respected elements of their game as they make this journey to respectability. And it can't be overlooked at all what that means in terms of how fans and competition take this team seriously. Before Mike Babcock, we spent the last 15 years mired in a continuous slump of ineffectiveness when it came to such an important part of the game. Let's face it, you define yourself as a contender based on your special teams, and the teams that usually win the Stanley Cup, or for that matter just go deep into the playoffs, have the goaltending and the personnel to get it done. In William Nylander, Mitchell Marner, and Austin Matthews, the Leafs have 3 of the top 20 special teams players in the league. Factor in Freddie Anderson with the second best save percentage when down a man, and suddenly you're talking about a serious commitment to competitiveness that fans of the Maple Leafs will appreciate, likely for the entirety of the season. Discipline, focus, and commitment to special teams, that's what makes me, the Leafs fan, look forward to the season with a level of enthusiasm I haven't felt since before being a wee little boy.
So the Ottawa Senators have decided to remove or essentially cover up 1,500 seats at the Canadian Tire Centre. Now why, in this day and age of sports franchises maximizing their revenue, would they do this? I'll tell you why. Because Sens fans don't buy the tickets. Now this is the same team that couldn't sell out home games in their Eastern Conference Final. Heck, the Bell Center and the ACC get settled for their respective annual red versus white and blue versus white scrimmages. And as per the Globe and Mail, Anselmi and Melnick are hopeful by removing the seats that fans will feel the need to purchase season tickets with the potential of there being fewer tickets available on a walk-up basis. Now, how does this make sense? You know why they can't sell them? It's not because the arena is in the middle of nowhere. It's not because the Sens aren't a mediocre team, because they're not. It's not because it isn't a hockey market. It's simple economics. They're too expensive. Now, we all know sports is a business and it is all about maximizing revenues. Let's say I'm a big Senators fan. I think I'd be willing to pay $20 for a nosebleed seat, a hot dog, and a drink. So let's say the Sens offer a package just like that. So, doing some quick math, if Ottawa were to sell those nosebleed tickets for $20, including the hot dog and a pop, I think serious and casual fans would buy those tickets. So, 1,500 seats, $20 tickets, that's $30,000 extra per game. 41 home games, that's $1.23 million extra for the season. And that's not all. Add in some playoff games, and that's even more to the bottom line. Now, will people stop at one hot dog and a pop? I doubt it. Especially if they eat salty snacks. You know what happens when you eat salty snacks? You get thirsty. And when you get thirsty, you buy overpriced beverages. And you know what that means? More revenue for the Ottawa Senators. So open those seats back up, sell the cheap package tickets, and watch the fans flock back in. Watch them eat hot dogs, watch them eat salty snacks, and watch them drink overpriced beverages, and watch the revenues fly back in. And you know what? If Sens fans still don't want to come to watch hockey games, they can just stick to watching Rhino vs. Hippo movies on YouTube.
Joining us next on HVL is a writer and contributor with Editor in Leaf and the co-host of the Kraken Wise Pod, Mike Stevens, is on the show. Mike, thanks for coming on Habs Fan versus Leafs Fan.
Thanks for having me. This is unreal. I'm really looking forward to it. I'm very clearly in the Leafs camp on this one, but I'm very, very interested to hear some different point of views.
Tell us about your impressions of these Maple Leafs heading into this rookie tournament. Maybe what sort of things our audience should be on the lookout for in terms of upcoming talent from the minor league systems that might make the big club this year?
Well, I mean, just to preface this, I mean, this is the most exciting NHL season that Leafs fans should be looking forward to in years. I mean, you know, we have an abundance of young players. I say we as in the Leafs. The Leafs have abundance of young players that are coming into the league that you're going to be able to see firsthand at this rookie camp. A couple that I'd really like to look at, and I think everyone else should look at too, they're the obvious names. You know, Travis Dermott, because the defense is clearly the strand of the Leafs that they really need to improve the most. And Dermott is the consensus pick for the Marlies defenseman to graduate to the big leagues. From what I've seen of him, you know, he's just a solid guy. You don't notice him very much, which is good considering that, you know, a lot of the Leafs defensemen last year, you noticed because they made a lot of mistakes and a lot of bungled plays. Andrew Nielsen as well, what I'm really looking forward to seeing in him is whether or not he's improved his speed and his lateral movement. Because he's a phenomenal offensive defenseman. Like he, you know, as a rookie, he put up a huge, almost, I think nearly a point per game, or at least 50 points. And the only knock on him is that he's not fantastic in his own end and he can't move side to side quickly, which means that, you know, he can't adapt to the shifting of the play, which, you know, in the NHL, when it becomes a much faster paced game, that's going to be really, really tough to adapt to for him. So if he's improved in those regards, because he's a strong guy, he's a big guy, those are the two guys I think they should really, Leafs fans should really pay attention to. They're going to be great.
You mean you didn't get enough of Connor Carrick and Marinson and Roman Polak last year? You think that there were maybe a little bit too many bungled plays, as you called them, and disappointing decisions on the back end?
Oh, man. I live in fear these days because everyone, it's the running joke on Twitter that maybe, maybe Roman Polak might be coming back to the Leafs. Maybe we're holding out that roster spot for him. And look, he got really good to the end of the year. Like he was at the last 20 games of the season, I thought him and Hunwick, I almost said Hunlack because they basically were inseparable. That he really improved in his game. He wasn't making all these dumb plays and he was playing a simple game, even though as sheltered as he was. But I think, you know, with how young the team is, we brought in some They brought in some veterans on the defense in Hainsey and on the offense in Marlowe and Moore. I think that this is now is the time for, you know, a defenseman such as, you know, Travis Dermott, Andrew Nielsen, even the two Swedish guys that they signed, you know, in Callie Rosen and Andreas Borgman. I'm not sure if they're actually going to the rookie tournament. I would assume not because they're technically rookies, but I'm not sure. Though Nielsen and Dermott are definitely the two guys that I think have the best chance of making the team, Dermott over Nielsen. And and you mentioned Connor Carrick. I like Connor Carrick. I think he's got this potential that he hasn't tapped into yet. If he can just figure out his positioning, his, you know, gap control, he can become a top four defenseman, maybe a number four. So I'm not tired of him. Polak and Marinson, those two guys I'm a little tired of.
Mike, I had a chance to read your really informative article on Editor and Leaf about the dangers of bridge deals. Do you want to break down a little bit of what your thoughts were on that?
Sure. I mean, you know, the biggest, I guess, anxiety around Leafs Nation, if you want to put it now, is the contracts that, you know, Matthews, Marner, Nylander are going to inevitably get and how much of the cap they're going to take up. And I see a lot of people out there who are suggesting bridge deals, you know, like the, you know, 2-year, $6 million contract to kind of bridge the gap and maybe be palatable for the short, you know, for the short term. In my opinion, and as I wrote here, I used the two examples of potentially the biggest bridge deal blunders or the biggest examples of how they become blunders in PK Subban and now Jacob Trouba. Bridge deals never work. They're essentially handing the player the weapon that they're going to murder you with in 2 years. It's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. I mean, you save money in the short term. Yes, that works out. But in doing that, you wipe away any trust in the development of this player that you have, and you wipe out any sort of goodwill. Because, listen, like, you invest in the development of the player. If PK Subban, as I said in my article, signed a long-term deal when he became an RFA right away, after a good, I think it was a 38-point season, he's a great puck-moving defenseman, everyone loved him. If Bergevin had signed him to, I don't know, a 7-year, $6 million a year contract, yeah, that looks like a lot of money, especially back then, but think about how much of a value deal that would be to have Subban at $6 million a year now.
No question. And quite frankly, Mike, you provided us with enough food for thought for maybe half a dozen shows. Before we let you go on this fantastic appearance on HVL, why don't you tell our listening audience a little bit about your podcast and what you've got on the go with Editor and Leaf?
Great. Well, yeah, thanks for having me on, guys. I host the Kraken Wise podcast. It's on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play. It's me and my lifelong friend, Patrick Gallagher. We just kind of ramble about sports, you know, as you've heard me do now. It's usually me getting really mad about something and him trying to calm me down. I'm essentially the Don Cherry that's way less talented and will not get hired anywhere. And then also I'm writing for Editor and Leaf, which I'm incredibly excited about. I have a bunch of articles out right now, so I've written about – I actually wrote about how, you know, Patrick Marleau, if you're going to invest in a 38-year-old, he's the guy to do it. I've my first article was about, you know, the Leafs sports science division, how that's come very far. I've been in the middle of a move, actually, as the school year starts right now, so I haven't been able to put out as much as I'd like, but as things start rolling, I'll be able to produce a lot more, and I'm just looking forward to kind of writing about the stories that not a lot of people, the sort of alternative stories, the ones that, you know, everyone's going to write about how great Austin Matthews is, and he's, you know, 2 years younger than I am, and I still look up to him for fatherly advice, so he's fantastic, but maybe, you know, I'm looking to write about the things that maybe not a lot of people are thinking about, so... You know, I really look forward to keep doing this, and if you guys ever want to have me on again, I would absolutely love that.
His name is Mike Stevens. You can find him on Twitter at MikeyStevens81, and I can safely say he's a Leafs fan. Thanks for joining the show, Mike.
Thanks so much, guys. Have a great day. Thanks again for having me on.